Praise God. How many of you are glad that God shows up when we worship? Do you like that? Would you guys give a great big hand to the worship team for tonight and for last night? Poor guys, last night were standing up there for like an hour and a half just so you and I could worship, but it's awesome. Amen? Amen? Come on. Now, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Joel. All right, the book of Joel, chapter 2, or in Singlish, the book of Joel. Joel, Joel, Joel. All right. I know it's Noel. It's called a joke. All right. Joel chapter 2. And when you get there, I want you to shout, "Got it," just like Chris Lim. Oh, there's just one problem. I can't find it. All right. It's somewhere in here. Joel, there you are. Joel chapter 2. And when you get there, I want you to put your big, fat, ugly finger in it, and we're going to pray tonight. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, right now, we thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, Holy Spirit, we're just so grateful that you show up tonight, that you inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord, more than that, we're excited because, Lord, this is your word to us. Father, this is your personal invitation to us. Now, Lord, I pray you give me your anointing as I share. God, let it be clear. Let it be concise. Let it be to the point. God, let the jokes be funny. Let the amens be loud. You're answering prayer already. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Here we go. It says, "And it shall come to pass." Everyone say, "It shall." "It shall come to pass afterward that I will." Everyone say, "He will." Did you get this? "It shall," and he will, "that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Now, last time I checked, everyone in here has flesh. If you don't, something's wrong with you. You're the thing. All right. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men," any young men in the house? All right. "Shall see visions. And also on my men servants," all the men servants say, "Yes." "And on my maid servants," all the maid servants say, "Yes." All right. "I will pour out my spirit in those days." Did you catch this? It shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. Your young men see visions. Now I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It's a few pages to the right. And this is what it says. It's Peter. And this is when the Holy Spirit is first poured out on the church. The church has just started. Jesus died. He rose again. He told the guys, "Look, you need to wait. You need to hang on. You need to not move your little behind until I pour out the Holy Spirit on you, because it's really, really important." So they've been waiting. They've been praying. They've been hanging out. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes down. And the Bible says it was like flames of fire on their head. The sound of a rushing wind. The whole place was shaking. And power came into their life. And as they walk out, people are wondering, what happened to these people? And Peter stands up to explain it. And this is what he says. Acts 2:17. He says, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your YMs shall dream dreams. And my men servant and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Everyone say, "They shall." And this is how Peter explains what happened in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, how many of you have the Holy Spirit in your life today? Amen. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about fulfilling your dreams, all right? And I've titled this, "What's Your Dream?" Can you ask your neighbor that? What's your dream? Some of you are dreaming right now. Wake up. And I really believe this. We're going to talk about dreams tonight, and it's so important that you have a dream in your life that captivates your heart, that begins to capture your attention. Or, young person, you will never be secure in your walk with God. All right? I'm so excited about this. I believe that God wants to really do something. I felt him speaking to me in the worship, and he said, "Listen, God wants to set some young people free tonight. Some of you here, God wants to implant a dream in your heart. Some of you, God is going to resurrect some old dreams in your life. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there's some people here tonight and you've literally been jealous of other people's dreams. You feel like you don't have a dream. You see other young men and women with a dream, with a vision, with a purpose, and you're jealous of them. You wish you were like them. You don't think that you could possibly have it. But tonight, I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, your life is going to be changed. There's going to come a dream into your heart, and you will never, ever be the same again as you listen to this word that God wants to give you. Can you say amen? Come on. Now, we were made to dream. I don't know if you realize that, but you and I were absolutely made to dream. You are destined to dream. You are made to be a dreamer. How many of you have ever had a dream in your life? Some of you aren't sure. Did I? Didn't I? How many of you have had a dream where you were naked in your dream? Tell the truth. Are those scary or what? What are those dreams about? You know, and you're always like in your school, running around the halls and you're naked and you don't know what to do and everyone's looking at you. It's not just me, I know, all right? Now, it's the truth. We only tell the truth in here. I hope you know that. You were made to dream. You are absolutely made to dream. And God has a dream for your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, He's got a dream for you. I just quoted this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Write it down. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, this is the Lord speaking. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think about you, the thoughts of good and not of evil, to prosper you and give you a hope and a future." Another translation says, "I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts." There's things in the mind of God that are for you and about you, and they haven't even materialized yet. Listen to this. God has a dream about you. Man, you'd think you'd be excited about that. It's not a nightmare. It's a dream. God's dream for you is not just to go see the Fantastic Four. Flame on. All right. He's got a big dream. He's got a big purpose. And God says He knows the plans He has. So when you first take your breath, your very first breath of oxygen, when you start living on this planet, it is not a random series of events that you go through. Well, maybe I'm going to make it. Maybe I won't. Maybe today will be a good day. Maybe it's not a good day. The Lord says, look, I know the thoughts I have for you. I've decided about it. I'm secure in it. There are good thoughts, good dreams, good plans that God has in heaven for you. And you and I today, to have a dream in our life, what we need to do is we need to see in our heart what God wants to do. That's it. That's how you get a dream for your life. You don't just make it up. You don't sit around and just go, oh, give me a dream, 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 dream. You don't fall asleep in the middle of the sermon and try to get a dream. That's not how you get a dream from God. Can I get a witness? But you get a dream from God by just tapping into a few of the little thoughts that God has about you. He's already got them. They're swimming around. Listen, it's not positive thinking. You don't have to wake up every day and say, you know what? I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Like that little engine. I think I can. I think I can. You look yourself in the mirror. Man, oh, you know what? People like me. I'm good looking. Oh, I'm going to have a good day. Listen, you might be ugly, but you can still have a dream for your life. You don't have to lie to yourself every day. It's not just imagining, but letting God birth a dream, His thoughts, His plans, a dream in your heart for your life and for this generation, because God already knows what it is. And it's a good dream. It's a good plan. It's a good purpose. Can I get an amen out of the back row? You're depressing me back there, Jason. Come on. That's right. You look sad. You got to have a dream. Everyone say dream. Now, Peter says that this scripture that Joel wrote, he says it shall come to pass, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. It's all talking about dreams. And Peter says this was fulfilled 2,000 years ago in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Do you realize that? So it's fulfilled. You don't have to wait anymore. One day we're going to dream dreams. One day we're going to have visions. He says, you know what? It's here. It's now. This is a time. This is a time for you to get a dream for your life and a purpose for your life. And part of the fulfillment of this promise was the Holy Spirit coming. Part of the fulfillment of this promise was His church being empowered. But part of the fulfillment of this promise is us having dreams in our life. It's not just for one or two people. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for prophets. It's not just for your youth minister. But God wants you to have a dream for your life. Now, my son is like 19 days old or something like that, and he's cool. Have you seen my son, Caleb? Have you seen him? Yeah, he's a good looking kid. Takes after me. And he's an interesting guy. But do you know that he has dreams? He's already dreaming. I don't know what babies dream about. But he was only like a week old and he's in his sleep and he's going, Now, when he's awake, he doesn't really smile that much. Babies don't know how to smile. They only know how to frown. I don't know what that is, but you got to teach him how to smile. But in his sleep, man, he's having a good time. And he's like, I guess he's dreaming of milk, you know, streams of milk and bathtubs full of milk. And that's all he really cares about. I don't know. He has dreams because you were made to dream. Man, this last week, you know, I went down to Victoria School where Joel goes and where's Jaira? Jaira, where are you? Jaira, there's my man Jaira. You're all camouflaged, blending in. All right, very neutral. And they had a dream to do something big on their campus and put on an event. And, you know, when Jaira announced that a band that was playing at Zouk was going to come, what he meant to say is it's a Christian band that from City Harvest that one time got invited to Zouk. So it wasn't like a disco night, just in case you're wondering. Thought I'd clarify that. But they had a dream and they pulled it off. They had a great event. Tons of people came. We spoke. Man, I'm telling you, it's awesome to have a dream and see it fulfilled. I've had dreams in my life. I mean, I've had God show me visions of thousands of young people coming. I've seen visions of Singapore. I've had dreams when I'm praying of Orchard Road, and I've seen young people fill the streets and begin worshiping and literally dancing in the streets because of the presence of God and what God wanted to do. And I'm telling you, I believe in the dream of God today. I believe in it. If I didn't believe in the dream, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't believe in the dream, I wouldn't come here week after week and talk to you. But there is a dream in my heart, and it's only the dream of God that's kept me till now. It's only the dream of God that kept me pure all these years as I've been serving God. It's only the dream of God that made me choose not to backslide when things got tough and when doubts were in my heart and I didn't know where God was. It was the dream of God that kept me. And you've got to get a dream in your life. Come on. Are you living with a dream today? Do you know Jesus in your life? Maybe you just are aimless and hopeless. You need Jesus tonight to come into your heart. And if you know him already and you're still hopeless, you need a dream. Man, he is a God that gives dreams. Turn to the book of Genesis. I want to read you a story. The book of Genesis, chapter 37. It is the first book in the Bible. Here we go. Genesis 37. We're going to put it up. Is it on the PowerPoint? Maybe not. This is how the story goes. It's a story of a man named Joseph. Everyone say Joe. Meanwhile, Jacob had settled down where his father lived in the land of Canaan. That was the story of Jacob. The story continues with Joseph. Everyone say Joe. He was 17 years old at the time, a lot like us. And he was helping out his brothers in herding the flocks. He was not hurting the flocks, but herding. All right. He's not a sheep abuser. These were his half-brothers, actually, the sons of his father's other wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. Man, they just sound ugly, don't they? All right. And Joseph brought his father bad reports. Everyone say bad. Bad reports on them. And his dad loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was the child of his old age. And he made him an elaborately embroidered coat. When his brothers realized that their father loved him more than them, they grew to hate him. They wouldn't even speak to him. And then the Bible says, now Joseph had a dream. Everyone say dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said, listen to this dream I had. We were all out in the field gathering wheat, and all of a sudden my bundle stood straight up, and your bundle circled around it and bowed down to mine. His brother said, so you're going to rule us? You're going to boss us around? And they hated him more than ever because of his dreams and the way he talked. He had another dream. Now, he was a dreamer, but he wasn't a very smart dreamer. He just kept on going, telling everyone about these dreams. And he told this one to his brothers. He said, I dreamed another dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down to me. Now, he had 11 brothers. And when he told it to his father and brothers, his father reprimanded him and said, what is with all this dreaming? Am I and your mother and your brothers all supposed to bow down to you? Now, his brothers were really jealous, but his father thought about the whole matter. His brothers had gone off to Shechem where they were pasturing their father's flocks. And his father said to Joseph, your brothers are with the flocks. Listen, I want to send you to them. And Joseph said, I'm ready. Now go and see how your brothers are and how the sheep are and bring me back a report. So he sends Joseph off. Joseph goes and he finds his brother And the Bible says they spotted him off in the distance. And by the time he got to them, they had cooked up a plot to kill him. Everyone say, uh-oh. Are you guys still with me tonight? All right. It's story time at the edge. The brothers were saying, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these old cisterns. We can say that a vicious animal ate him up, and we'll see what his dreams amount to. So they grab him, they take off his coat, they throw him in the pit, and eventually a group of Ishmaelites who are on their way to Egypt pass by. And they sell him as a slave. Now, your brothers and sisters might not get along with you, but I'm pretty sure none of you have been sold as a slave yet. All right, because this is bad. This is extreme family crisis. Okay. And if after Joseph had been taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, now we're in Genesis chapter 39, it says Potiphar, an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's officials and the manager of his house, brought him from them. And it turned out that God was with Joseph and things went very well with him. He ended up living in the home of his master. His master recognized that God was with him, saw that God was working for good in everything he did, and he became fond of Joseph and made him his personal aide. He put him in charge of all his personal affairs, turning everything over to him. From that moment on, God blessed the home of the Egyptian, all because of Joseph. Is that awesome? That's awesome. The blessing of God spread over everything he owned, at home and in the fields, and all that his master had to concern himself with was eating. That sounds like a good job. All I got to do is eat. Everything else Joseph does. Man, I need someone like that. Anyone want to sign up to be my personal assistant? All I got to do is eat. And so it says, as time went on, his master... Now, Joseph was a handsome man. Have we got any handsome men in the house? Pride. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Joseph was a handsome man, just like Jeremy. Does it say that in your Bible? Because it's right here. I don't know where that came from. As time went on, it's not pride, I'm just telling you the truth. As time went on, his master's wife became infatuated with Joseph and one day said, sleep with me. Very direct. She's a desperate housewife. All right. I don't recommend the show. Don't watch it. It's trash. He wouldn't do it. He said to his master's wife, look with me here. My master doesn't give a second thought about anything. I don't want any of this. I'm not going to take you. He says, get out of here. I don't need to listen to what you're saying. And he takes off. But she kept pestering him day after day. And one day she grabbed him and she said, sleep with me. Man, if someone grabs you and says that, you got problems. I mean, this person is emotionally upset. And so she grabs him to sleep with me. He says, he runs and his coat tears off and he leaves it behind and she lies. She tells his master, look, Joseph tried to rape me. So what happens to this guy? He gets thrown in jail. You know the story. In jail, he meets the butler and a baker and he's there for a long time and the butler and baker start to have dreams. Now Joseph's dreams are long gone, but they come with dreams. He says, all right, I don't have dreams anymore, but I'll try to help you with your dreams. And so he interprets their dreams and the butler and the baker, these are servants to Pharaoh, servants to the king. They get released from jail and he says, listen, you've got to remember me. Tell Pharaoh about me. Get me out of jail. But they forgot about him. And it was years before Pharaoh finally had a dream and he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. He finally gets out of jail. He's put over everything in the house of Egypt. He's in charge of everything. And one day his brothers and family finally come back because there's no food in Israel. There's no food where they are in Canaan. They come to Egypt and they say, listen, we need help. They don't even remember Joseph. They think he's long gone. And Joseph saves the day. And it says that day that Joseph remembered the dreams that God gave him. Now listen, does this sound like an exciting way to fulfill your dreams? The answer is no. Sala, we'll pray for you after this. That's one of my youth ministers right there. All right. Now think about it. I mean, this is terrible. You go from big dreams, authority, power, people bowing down to you, to in a pit. Oh man, I'm in a pit. Then they pull you out of the pit. Hey, I'm out of the pit. Then they sell you as a slave. Oh, I'm a slave. Then you become really important in the house. Hey, I'm good again. Then you get thrown in jail. Oh, I'm in jail. Then you interpret a dream. Hey, I'm going to get out. Then they forget about you. Oh, then you finally get out and they put you over Egypt and things are finally going good. And finally your brothers come. And this is his whole life story. I mean, as a young man, he is tortured and tormented and all along thinking, what about the dream? What about the dreams? What about the visions? What about what I saw? What about what happened at youth camp? What about what that pastor said to me? What about what I felt last year? What happened to the dreams? What happened? And the Bible literally says this in Psalm, that the dream of God tested Joseph. That the dream he had tested him. It tried him. But you know what's interesting about Joseph? You know what's really amazing about him and why he's so cool? Give me five, Nikki. All right. He didn't stop dreaming. Write it down. Don't stop dreaming. He didn't stop dreaming. I mean, he just keeps getting up, keeps getting up, keeps getting up. And tonight, I want to talk to you quickly. We're going to wrap this up. I want to talk to you about four kinds of dreams from Joseph's life that we can end up with tonight. Four kinds of dreams that I believe are in this place. And then I want to pray. The first kind of dream that you can end up with, and you see this in Joseph's life, is shattered dreams. Everyone say shattered dreams. Some of us here tonight, you've got shattered dreams in your life. Now, these are dreams that have crumbled. These are dreams that have fallen apart. These are dreams that you've lost all hope for. One time you believed in it. One time it felt good, but it's just never materialized, and everything just went wrong. It didn't get from good to better. It got from bad to worse. And now instead of being in charge and everyone respecting you, you are in a pit. And like Joseph, can you imagine? After telling these dreams, he's charged up. God, you got a destiny for me. Man, you're going to use me. I got a savior and he's living. And he gets thrown into a pit. And he's stuck in this pit. And for Joseph that day, can you imagine the shattered dreams in his life? Man, my brothers don't respect me. They don't honor me. They want to kill me. And if it wasn't for his older brother, he would have been killed that day. That's how much they hate him. It's not even close to the dream of God. And for some of you, you had dreams in your heart, but people came against your dreams. Your family, your friends, they oppose the dreams in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't believe in Jesus, and you have something in your heart. You want to know God. You want to know Jesus, but there's opposition in your life and you don't know how to break through. And there are shattered dreams in your heart, just like what Joseph faced in the pit. And for some of you tonight, that's exactly where you are. And I believe God wants to put your dreams back together. The second kind of dreams that we can end up with are tired dreams. Everyone say tired dreams. Tired dreams. These are dreams that come and go. They come in seasons. Sometimes you got them. Sometimes you don't. They're dreams that happened a long time ago, and from time to time, the Holy Spirit stirs it up in your heart, and you start to remember the dream again. You get charged up again. Man, you're in worship at the edge, and the power of God is there, and you remember the dream, and you think, man, this thing's possible. Man, I could do this thing. God, you're with me. Who can be against me? Maybe it's at a youth camp. Maybe it's at a youth net rally, and something inside of you ignites, and you start to believe it again, but then bad things start happening. And you go through and you go through and you go through. And then one day again, the dream comes. Man, you try to believe again. You try to believe again. And these kind of dreams, it's been a long time since you first had the dream. It's been a long time since it burned in your heart. It's been a long time since the day God first gave it to you and it was first in your heart. And it's been up and down and up and down. Maybe these are dreams from youth camp, from last year, from years ago. And you know what? You're getting tired of trying to believe again. You're just tired. I'm trying to believe. God, I'm trying to believe you can do it, but I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of always trying to break through in my life, and it just doesn't seem that I can do it. And can you imagine this young man, Joseph, sitting in jail after having a dream, getting thrown in a pit, finally getting pulled out, sold as a slave, working his way up. Everything's going. He's trying to believe, well, God, maybe you'll do good. Maybe you'll work it together for good. And all of a sudden, he's thrown in jail, and he's just tired. Not just in jail. Then he tells the butler and baker, this is what's going to happen in your dream. He thinks, hey, God's remembering me. Maybe this is my way out. Then he's forgotten. And at this point, he's just tired. God, I remember the dream, but I don't know. I'm just getting tired of believing. I'm getting tired of waiting. I'm getting tired of fighting. I'm getting tired of hanging on. I'm tired of it. God, I know you said you wanted to birth multitudes, but I'm tired. God, I know, I had a dream for my net, but I'm tired today. Some of you started strong in your net. You started strong in your region. God put a burden and a vision in your heart, even at the evangelism seminar a couple months ago. But you know what's happened? Things slow down. Things get hard and you are tired today. And what's left inside of you is a dream, but it's worn out. There's not much strength left. There's not much passion left. You're not willing to throw everything back into it again because it just might not happen and it might not be worth the effort. And so you're just tired. Is this making sense tonight? Am I speaking to anybody tonight besides myself? Praise God. Jeremy, you're doing a good job. Thank you. Number three, damaged dreams. Damaged dreams. These are dreams that you believe. Man, these are dreams that you're passionate about. And you've been trying to make it. And you've been pushing through. And you've been hanging on to the dream with everything you've got. You sold out for it. I mean, you've done everything you could. You're not letting this dream go. You're not letting a day go by without this dream burning in your heart, without getting a hold of God. But you know what? It's just not as good as you thought it would be. It's not quite as big as the original dream. Well, Lord, you know, you did some things. I saw some souls saved at the evangelism seminar, but where's my 12? Where's the multitudes? Where's this? And there's something damaged inside your heart. Listen up. When Joseph ended up in Pharaoh's house, he was in charge of all of Egypt. He was in charge of everything. I mean, that is amazing. He was almost like Pharaoh himself. He's like the king of an entire nation. But something in his heart is saying, God, this is cool, but it's just not quite what I imagined. I imagine my family here. I imagine you moving in my life. I imagine people around me that knew me, and I thought you were going to do great things, and this is nice. I appreciate the consolation prize. Thank you, Jeremy, for shaking my hand, but I really wanted the bowling pin trophy. I appreciate it, but it's just not quite as good as what I thought it would be. It's damaged. He made it. Things were going good, but his dreams were damaged, and he just didn't believe like before. Fourth kind of dream that you can end up with tonight. Are you still with me? All right. Forgotten dreams. Forgotten dreams. Turn to Genesis chapter 42. I want to give you a scripture. Genesis chapter 42, verse 9. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate your zeal. Genesis 42, verse 9. Are you there? Are you confused? Yes. All right. Genesis 42, verse 9. It comes right after Genesis 41. All right. Yes. Wow. The spirit of revelation is upon you. All right. Here we go. It says, then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. Now, this happens at the end of this whole story. His brothers finally come. They ask him, hey, we need food. We need this stuff. And he recognizes his brothers. And then it says, then Joseph remembered the dreams. Now, it had been years, years and years since he started this out. And he had the dreams and he tried to keep them alive. But there came a point for Joseph where he forgot the very dream of God. He just tried to make do. He's not living in depression. He's not backslidden. I mean, he still loves God. He's doing okay. Hey, life is all right, but it's not quite the dream. And after a while, he couldn't even remember the dreams he had until his brothers showed up and they came to him and said, we need your help. We're bowing to you. We need you. And he says, then he remembered his dreams. And Joseph at this point had forgotten dreams in his life. These are dreams so far gone, you don't even remember them. They barely even come up in your mind. You're not backslidden, you're not bitter, but you just moved on to other things. You've tried to make it good. But listen, the God you serve tonight, the very same Jesus that you came to meet tonight, is the God who restores dreams. He is. He never forgets. Do you realize that? He never ever forgets. And the plans he has for you, he says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts I think about you. I haven't forgotten. I didn't forget. It didn't slip my mind. I know it. I've always known it. And I'm going to make sure they come to pass in your life. Can you say amen? Come on. Forgotten dreams. I want the worship team to come up. I'm going to give you real quick three reasons why we don't fulfill the dream of God sometimes. Number one is because of distractions in our life. Some of you, your dream's been sidelined because of distractions. For Joseph, when he's in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's desperate housewife is all over him, there was an opportunity for distraction for him. I mean, that's distracting. You think you're distracted by the girl in your math class? Think about some lady coming up to you and saying, sleep with me. That's a little distracting. Sleep with her, huh? I mean, you're in the middle of praying, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Sleep with me, huh? Distracting. My goodness. Distractions. And the reason the dream of God was fulfilled in his life is because he was a young man that chose not to be distracted by pleasures in this life. He was not distracted by sin. He was not distracted by the fads that other people around him were taking to. The second reason why we don't fulfill God's dream is disappointments. Sometimes we get so upset, we're not willing to dream again. We're not open to God coming and doing anything in our life. When he's forgotten in jail, you think he wasn't disappointed? I mean, this man was disappointed. He could have sat there and been bitter and upset and just said, God doesn't remember me. He's forgotten all about me. But Joseph chose to move beyond that and get a hold of the dream giver. And the last reason why we don't fulfill God's dream is our desires. Everyone say desires. Can you imagine how much Joseph would have wanted to kill his brothers? I mean, seriously, he's the king. He had all authority. He could have just said the word. Boom. That's it. You know what he could have done? He could have captured them and made them all slaves. It's probably what I would have done. When they come up, hey, give us food. Hey, I got 12 pits. I dug them last year just for you. Get in. Desires, your flesh, the things that you want to do, but they're not of God. The things that lead you aside from the plan of God. For some of you, it may be a hobby in your life, and it's just not what God wants for you right now. For some of you, it's just your own flesh tempting you day after day and just pulling you wrong ways. The schools you choose, the jobs you take, the friends you hang out with, the desires of your life will affect your dreams. They will affect your dreams. Put the PowerPoint back up there, guys. We're not done. But I want to tell you tonight, if you're serious about God's dream, God's dreamers have characteristics. I'm going to run through them real fast. Number one, they have a cause in their life, something they're living for. Secondly, they're storing up treasure in heaven. They're not interested just in fulfillment. Now they know, God, I'm sowing in righteousness. Father, when I see you, God, I'm living for you. I want fruit in my life. I want to see multitudes come because I want treasure in heaven. They're not interested in their own gain. They're not easily satisfied. There's going to be scriptures up there, so just write them down. Drop the screen, guys. They're not easily satisfied. They don't give up easily. Fifth, they're followed by miracles, signs and wonders. They're unstoppable. Revelation 12:11 said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. And lastly, they believe in the God who restores dreams. Almost everyone who ever had a dream in the Bible had more than one dream. Almost everyone who had a dream in the Bible or a promise from God had it come more than once. God spoke a second time, and the dream came a second time, and the word of the Lord came a second time. It is all over the Bible, because God is a God who reminds you, who restores to you, who keeps giving you the dream of God. Can you say amen tonight? And I believe some of you here tonight, God wants to restore your dreams. Come on, close your notes, close your Bibles, and download the MP3 if you missed something. Tonight, you're here in this place. I want to pray for some young people tonight. Some of you here tonight and you say, you know what, Jeremy, you're talking to me, my dreams. I had dreams in my heart, but I feel like they're shattered. I feel like they're just not going the way they're supposed to go. It just seems like everything fell apart. I want God to come and put my dreams back together again. If that's you tonight, come on, where are you at? Put your hand up high. Let me see it. Say, yeah, that's me. I need prayer. Come on, all over this place. All over this place, quickly. Yeah, put them down. Anybody else? Quick. Second group of people. You say, Jeremy, I had the dream. I believe in the dream, but I'm tired. I'm getting tired. I feel myself getting weary. It's not the same as it used to be, and I'm worried. I don't believe like I used to believe because I'm just getting tired. It's just been such a fight. I need the strength of God to come into my life. Come on. If that's you, let me see your hand up high. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah. You can put them down. Come on, it's for young people. It's for leaders. Even for youth ministers tonight. Youth coordinators. Come on, it's for everybody. Third, damaged dreams. Man, I believed. I stuck it out. I'm here, but right now it's not as good as I thought it would be. And I don't understand. I want to see the full fulfillment of the dream. I don't want to give up until I see every last part of the promise of God come in my life. Where are you at? Come on, lift your hand up high. Yeah. Last group, forgotten dreams. You say, you know what? I realize as you're talking, there's dreams in my life. I let them go. I went a whole nother direction. One time I was on fire for the dream of God. Now I'm living for something else. I want God to resurrect the dreams in my life. Come on, where are you at tonight? Don't wait. Put your hand up high. Come on. Yeah, you can put them down. Anybody else? Quickly now, quickly. All over this place. Lastly, Just before we close, if you are here tonight, I want everyone to close your eyes. And you are not a Christian. You don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, young person, tonight, He is a God that will put a dream in your heart. He is a God that can do that because He loves you and He already has a dream about you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His Son to die for you. He gave Jesus for you because He loved you so much. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus and you want Him, I want to pray for you and your life is going to be changed. Maybe you're here tonight and you are away from God. You know you've fallen away from Him and you need to get your life right. Then this is for you as well. Come on, if you don't know Jesus tonight, or if you're backslidden and you need to get back with Him, you say, Jeremy, I want you to pray for me. Would you lift up your hand up high right now? Say, yeah, that's me tonight. Please pray for me. I want God in my life. I want to know Jesus. Come on. Is there anybody here tonight? You be so bold and you be so honest to say, yeah, I need that. I want that. Would you please pray for me? And we'll do it tonight. Come on. Right now. Anyone here? I don't want to rush through it. I don't want to miss anyone. Come on. Just put your hand up high and we'll pray tonight. And God's going to change your life. Yeah, I see you. You can put it down. That's good. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else, quickly? You want prayer tonight? Anybody else? Just lift your hand up and put it down again, and we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what I want you to do, the first group of people, you raise your hand for prayer about their dreams. I want you to come to the front right now, very quickly. Come on, whichever dreams you need prayer for tonight, shattered dreams, tired dreams, damaged dreams, forgotten dreams, you come right now as the band begins to play and sing. Come on, quickly, quickly, all over this place.